Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her study on the book of Colossians. Being a Christian doesn't offer us a life without problems, but God promises us something even better, His grace and strength to rise above our circumstances. The book of Colossians is truly a manual for understanding everything we have in Christ. In this unique Bible study, Joyce will show us how Colossians is our guide to becoming more like Him and reflecting His love, joy, peace, and stability to the world around us. Now, here's Joyce with the study on the book of Colossians.
Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, spiritual maturity, and being willing to help others. A little background about the church at Colossae. The theme of this letter to the Colossians is the headship of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. As long as the body is taking direction from the head, we're going to be in good shape. But when the body starts trying to run everything, that's when we get in trouble. The headship of Christ and the believer's responsibility to manifest the resurrection life that Jesus is offering us. A resurrection life. Paul talked about it in Philippians, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm in the body. That means you can be right here in the body, going to work, going home, doing the dishes, cutting the grass, fighting with the kids, all the stuff that everybody else goes through. Christianity does not offer us a perfect life where there's no problems, but it offers us a resurrection life. It offers us a place in Christ where we can rise above the storms of life, let them do what they're going to. We're still going to have our joy in God, and we're not going to give up our hope. Eagles do that, you know. The Bible says you can mount up with wings as eagles. It talks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what the word wait means? It doesn't mean to go sit in a chair somewhere and do nothing till God moves. The word wait has the same definition as the word hope. It means to wait expectantly, looking and longing for God to move in your life. If you're not waiting with expectation, then you're not waiting according to what the Bible means when it talks about waiting. Waiting on God. We can get up every day excited, waiting to see what God is going to do that day. You never know what God may do any given day in your life. But I'll bet you one thing. I bet that most of you need to expect more than what you're expecting. I'm expecting something great to happen today. Lord have mercy. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm expecting. You say, well, what if nothing happens? Well, then I'm going to expect something good to happen on the way home or when I get home or in the middle of the night. See, you can just ramp your joy up to a whole new level, and you can do it all by yourself. You don't have to have any music. You don't have to have anybody preaching to you. All you got to do is get full of hope. Everybody say it with me. Something good is going to happen to me. See, you feel better already. Christianity would have been in danger in the days that Paul wrote this letter of being completely overwhelmed by false religions were it not for the grace of God protecting it. In those days, just like today, there existed a strange mixture of all kinds of different so-called religions. In those days, there was a mixture of Jewish legalism, Grecian philosophy, and Oriental mysticism. And it was interwoven in a most cunning and deceptive way. And in 1 Thessalonians, it's actually spoken of as the mystery of lawlessness. And it existed under the general name Gnosticism. The Gnostic says that we cannot know God. And I talked a little bit about this last night, but nothing is sadder than for somebody to be committed to a religion and they're diligent in going to a church somewhere week after week, but never taught that Jesus didn't die for them to have a religion, but so they could have a personal, intimate relationship with God. I mean, there were days when people didn't believe they could even understand the Bible. They didn't even bother to read it. They thought the priests were the only one who could understand it. Days when people thought they didn't think they could hear from God. They thought they had to go to somebody else all the time to hear from God for them. Can I tell you something today? Now, there's a song that says this, but I've been meditating on this. I'm almost tempted to write a book on it. God is your friend. Is your friend. He is not mad at you. He's not waiting to bang you over the head because you've made a mistake. He's not loading us down with religious rules and regulations, which we're going to talk about this afternoon. Thank God we can be led by the Holy Spirit, not a list of rules. Talk about adding creativity to your life. Man, just start being led by the Holy Spirit. Even prayer, you know, I mean, of course, I love the word prayer. It's all over the Bible. But I've been trying to say to people, you know, just have a talk with God. Have a conversation with God. Somehow or another, if we relegate it into my prayer time, we can almost get the idea that's been passed down to us that it's this religious exercise that has to be performed in a certain way, in a certain place, with a certain voice tone, and we almost become like other people when we try to talk to God. So much deception existed in those days. And Paul was very concerned that they were going to be deceived and be led back into legalism. Or he expressed a concern. He said, I'm fearful lest you be moved away from the simplicity that is found in Christ. And I love that. A relationship with God is supposed to be simple. Being a Christian is supposed to simplify our life, not load us down with a bunch of rules and regulations we think we have to follow in order to get something right every single day. And I can tell you today, so many people gear toward how much they do something. How long do I pray? How many chapters do I read every day? On and on and on. Just stop counting stuff. Just stop setting your clock and thinking, well, you know, I'm going to pray an hour. Well, you know, I used to do that. I mean, I would hear people come in and talk about how long they prayed every day when they were preaching, and so I thought I needed to try to do that. And I remember one time, dumb me back then, I got my clock, locked myself in a room, and I decided that I was going to pray 4 hours every day like the intercessor that came to our church and spoke on intercession. And after 5 minutes, I'd said everything I knew how to say. Didn't know anything else. Finally fell asleep. And I was so bored in that room for 4 hours. Now that's silly. We don't need to behave like that. And hopefully maybe you haven't gone through stuff like that. But how many of you have? A lot of us have, you know. And it's really out of a good heart. We just want to do what's right. We want to please God. But I can tell you, God would rather have 2 minutes of meaningful conversation with you. I believe that He would rather that you take one chapter like Colossians 1 and stick with that. I don't care if you stick with it for 3 months. Now, you're not probably going to brag about that. Guess what? In the last 3 months, I've read one chapter. Let's go deeper. We're going to talk this afternoon about going deeper. The Bible says we are to be rooted deep in His love, and we are to be rooted deep in Christ, and we're to leave the shallows and come out into the deep things of God. It's time for us to go deeper and not just keep trying to impress people with how much of everything we do. People tell me, oh, I hear this so much. I've got all your books. Well, first of all, I highly doubt that. And secondly, it doesn't take me very long to figure out if you've just got them or if you've read them. And see, we like to have a big library so everybody's impressed when they come in our house. But God's not impressed with all that stuff. What he wants us to do is learn and apply. Learn and apply. So the Gnostic says we can't know God. But for the Christian, knowing God is the central theme of his life. Gnosticism was filled with human reasoning, and therefore was most attractive to the human mind. But it was satanic in origin and was actually the root. What was going on in the Church of Colossae was the root of what is called Christian Science today. Paul's letter was to warn early Christians to beware of such deception, as well as to instruct them on how to walk in this world as a Christian. So let me just say, to make sure that I've said it, Satan is a liar. He is the deceiver, and he will constantly try to get us to believe stuff that's not true. And sometimes what he gets us to believe is not something that all of it's not true, but there's just enough nonsense mixed in with it that it makes it not true. And the only way that we can ever avoid being deceived is to pray regularly that we would not be deceived. Don't ever assume you cannot be deceived. Pray that you will not be deceived, and make sure that you know what's in this beautiful book that we call the Bible. Because every answer to life is found in here, and it is full of truth. People say today, well, there is no exact truth. There's no total truth. Everything is relative. It just kind of depends on, you know, I hate it when people tell me, well, you know, this is a different generation. Things are different now. Well, yeah, some things are different, but the word didn't change. The word did not change. People today, for some reason, aren't too fond of marriage. You know, it's like, well, you know, this is the 21st century or whatever it is. Well, I don't care if it's the 41st century. What God says is still the only thing that's going to work in our lives. Well, I'm in trouble. I've been preaching half an hour and I've not even got started. Consecration. Wow. Saints, we're called saints. And that word means that we're consecrated to God. And that means, and we got to get this, as far as God's concerned, when he saves us, we belong to him.
Thanks for listening. Joyce's heart is to help us develop a stronger relationship with God through deeper study of the Bible. Digging into the book of Colossians is a great way to start that journey. As we begin looking into God's Word, there are many lessons to discover and inspiration for us to love Jesus and walk with Him even more closely than we already do. Remember, as Christians, we have everything we need to live a life of peace, joy, and growth, and it's all found in Him. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
The Bible, our instruction book for life. Spending time in God's Word will change our lives. But consistent and effective study can at times be challenging. That's one reason why Joyce is here to help. At joycemeyer.org/Bible study, you'll find ways to make your study time come to life with helpful resources, study suggestions, and encouragement from Joyce. Get the most you can out of your time studying God's Word with Everyday Study. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org/Bible study.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.